broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, and it all starts now. This is the broadcast for April the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. We talked about a media blackout, an R rating, even a suspended Twitter account. And man, on opening weekend, unplanned, the true story about former Planned Parenthood, director, Abby Johnson. All I'm telling you is it was phenomenal. 6 million in ticket sales. Amazing. One day. That's how much it cost to make the movie. They paid themselves back. The film will be in, it was only in 1,059 theaters last weekend, but they still made their money back at a $6 million take, double the estimated expected. But the film will be in 1,700 theaters this weekend, folks. Spend your money. Support the film. Unplanned. Tremendous reality check on the we're a murderous people, folks. We got to stop it. Pro-life. Disney banning all smoking at parks. We talked about that a bit. They're free to do what they want with their private property, aren't they? Verona, where's that? Italy, played host to the 13th World Congress of Families, WCF, drawing together representatives from pro-family groups around the globe. It was tremendous, but the mainstream press didn't report on the unplanned movie and didn't report on this World Conference of Families either. It was tremendous, though. We talked about it in great detail. What an opportunity for good people everywhere to stand up for the sacred cause of liberty, for God, family, and country. Hour two, we had our guest on, Patrick Simmons, National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, righttowork.org. And we asked, do you live in a right-to-work state? We talked about the new testimony on Capitol Hill from one of the right-to-work attorneys. Current labor law promotes forced unionism and is antithetical to the values of free speech and free association. Incredible, incredible. Standing up for the sacred cause of liberty and agency and choice. Where are the pro-choice folks when you need them most? Oh, they're out killing babies. They're not around to help with this, huh? We talked about the right to work, quote, really means the right to work for less, lies the Washington Post. So there you have that. The mainstream press just can't stand to tell the truth on this. They don't like right-to-work state. They don't believe in pro-choice, except for the pro-death issue. National Right to Work Act. What is it, the NRTWA? Doing great, gaining co-sponsors. We need your help. Call your congressmen and senators and say, promote right-to-work in my state. Let's have the National Right to Work Act on the table ASAP. Rand Paul and others are pushing for it, but Congress doesn't have time for it. Strange stuff, folks. Would you like that Whopper with or without beef? They call it the Impossible Whopper. A new burger without beef costs a dollar more. Who in their right mind would buy it? They tell you that it's safe and effective to eat it, but how do they even know that? They don't. But the FDA doubling down and lying and giving the idea that it's been proven safe and effective when it has not. And who would pay a dollar more, huh? To make you believe it's safe, effective, environmentally friendly? It's all a big absolute lie, ladies and gentlemen. Well, another loss for Alex Jones. Alex Jones claims psychosis made him believe Sandy Hook was staged. He literally said, hey, I had a form of psychosis. I kind of believed everything was a conspiracy, and now I realize everything's not a conspiracy. And, well, our prayers are with Alex Jones. I don't know what's going on, whether he felt threatened, whether he's forced to say that by his attorneys or believes that it'll save him in court. I just don't even know the truth around Alex Jones anymore. You know, what is he standing for? He gets in court and says, this is all theater. I don't really believe it. It's just my shtick on the radio. Then he comes back and says, hey, wait a minute. I had a form of psychosis. I thought everything was a conspiracy, and I know now that it's not. What's the truth with this guy? I'm not here to attack him, but man, he went through a horrific divorce. He made a ton of money. He got into all these conspiracies that just derailed him. Now he's in court just dealing with lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. He sided with Roger Stone against Jerome Corsi and Larry Klayman. I mean, just a crazy division. For what purpose is all this? I thought our goal was to tell the tale of liberty. I thought our goal was to bring people together. I thought our goal was to, in the traditions of the founding fathers, bring back honest reporting and news. Our prayers are with Alex Jones. I'm not here to attack him. I'm just here to say, what on earth is up with all that? If he's got a form of psychosis, I pray that he gets stable and mentally stable. If he's dishonest, I pray that he repents and becomes honest. If he's being forced by somebody, I pray for him and his safety and the safety of him and his family. Wow. All right, there you have that. That's 2 hours yesterday in the can, available Liberty on, wow, libertyroundtable.com, online radio at your fingertips, libertyroundtable.com, on demand and live radio free. But if you have the heart to donate, every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. Our website for this talk show, libertyroundtable.com, the syndicated radio network that syndicates our show and many others, libertynewsradio.com. Check them out. Donate today, would you please? All right, without further ado, Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. Blasted as unconstitutional sham, WND.com. Private property takes center stage, Kurt.
Well, there you go. Once again, WorldNet Daily doing some pretty good detailed reporting. You know, it's kind of unusual to find in the world out there, I think. But, this couple, well, I mean, imagine this. They put a gate on their own property. Now, the problem is, Sam, they happen to be in California. That's what the headline reads. State fines couple $4.1 million for gate on own property. And I guess California, they say, perhaps has found a new way to fund health care, jobs, housing, and other provisions for its huge illegal alien population. And, so that's what they've done. They've fined this homeowner $4.1 million for a gate on his property installed by the previous owner on a 5-foot wide strip of land that has been designated as a potential future easement. The lawsuit for the rights and financial future of Warren Lent was filed by the Pacific Legal Institute, which has won multiple property disputes in the past few years.
Anyway, bottom line is Pelosi has a fence, Kurt. There's a gate there now.
Yeah, good point. But, you know, she's also, you know, the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
She kind of got special.
So what's going to happen then? Just another violation of property rights? Just another abuse of the citizenry? I mean, they're lucky they don't just use eminent domain and kick them off the whole thing.
They did get a hearing, Sam, in which...
a Ninth Circuit Court hearing? Good luck with that.
Yeah. Anyway, they not only argued for its side, but they made the final decision and issued the fine of $4.185 million. The reason given was that the couple spent too much time trying to find a solution. According to the Pacific Legal Foundation lawyer Damian Schiff, the items at issue all were there when the Lents bought the house, and there was no indication in any of the title records that they were unpermitted or otherwise illegal.
What, fences?
This gate, Sam. I mean,
that gate's okay. Illegal gate's going on.
Anyway, they say further, a fine of more than $4 million violates the federal and state prohibitions against excessive or arbitrary fines, he argued. What do you think, Sam? Is that, excessive?
I just think the bottom line is it's out of control. The government's involved in everybody's land everywhere, from the ranchers in Nevada, Clive and Bundy comes to mind, to this poor person trying to put a gate on their property and getting shut down. Somebody else, you know, had like, a little bit of water on their land. They created, you know, they said it was a water biosphere, and everybody else can't, you know, deal with their land because the turtles, the whatever. And now the churches are in the mix too, right, Kurt?
Well, right, but just before we go there, it's amazing to me. They say in the speedy trial news section, a decision is not expected until later this year. The complaint explains that the gate and the steps, which were there when the house permit was approved, likely were required by the city building authority for safety reasons, and the commission then said nothing for more than a generation. You know, it's just, it goes back to this whole thing of, well, you know, right and control of property, and when the state tells you you can put, you know, steps, or you got to have a file, you got to, you know, all this kind of stuff. Hey, like they say here at the last part of the WorldNet Daily Piece, the Lentz alleged wrongdoing, leaving in place a gate, stairway, and other innocuous accoutrements. Now that's one big fancy word, of the typical family home, because of a good faith belief that they were perfectly legal, in no way could justify a $4.185 million penalty. So I suppose these guys are going to be selling out and moving out of California like so many others, huh, Sam?
Either that or they'll just fight and lose everything they have. Who knows? You know, people do strange stuff, Kurt.
Good point. Yeah, they'll probably just maybe hang on there, I guess, you know, to stay. Now you say the churches. Well, that's a great point, Sam, because in this case, a church, well, they got a tax bill for $16,000. The bottom line is the county took $216,000 in property for that tax bill.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, under the name or disguise of the guise of taxes, government's starting to get belligerent in their quest for cash. You can never do well in fake money, folks. Inflation and misuse always betrays the thieves, huh?
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The reason I said this poor couple might stay in California and fight, well, a court resurrects fight over confiscated church land. That's kind of the bottom line, Kurt, is the fights just never end, sir. Believe it or not, our buddy, the Hague family, they've been at it for multi-generations fighting the federal government over land, even though they've won and the government said, hey, federal government, bring your wallet because you've committed all kinds of things, including racketeering. It still hasn't done any good. The government hasn't paid, and the Hagues, even though they won, are still in the multi-generational battle with your government. See, this stuff never ends, Kurt.
Well, you couldn't be more correct, Sam. It's sad to say, but this piece from WorldNet Daily talking about resurrection and the church, but they're not talking about the kind of resurrection you think of when it comes to the church, but they're talking about a case where, you know, this church had some ground. They had what they called a, you know, kind of a retreat area. And, they used it as a youth camp. It was called the Wayside Church. And the Pacific Legal Foundation is working with them on this whole thing.
Yeah, and if you don't pay up, they're going to cast you wayside. I'll tell you that right now.
Good point. They owed $16,750 in taxes, penalties, interest, and fees. So it probably started out as $10 or something like that. And the county took the youth camp property and sold it for $206,000. They say, then in addition to what was due, the county kept every penny what it got for the land. You know, they didn't go, hey, you owed $16,750. We sold it for $206,000. We'll take away that. So then you get the other. But no, you know, that just kind of in the bucket. And also, the county was accused of selling another guy's childhood farm and home. He sold it for $47,750, and the guy owed a $5,900 debt. According to the complaint, they sold another guy's property where he was building his retirement home for $68,000 plus to pay a $25,000 debt. Pacific Legal said the county kept all the proceeds.
You're just telling me, hey,
sales.
They're just stealing more and more and more land from people, and everybody's fighting, and nothing, and nobody can do anything about it.
Well, and that's what it sounds like. Now, the Pacific Legal Foundation guys went to court and said, hey, this just isn't right. And so the good news here, at least in my opinion, is that, they've reopened the case and they may get some, probably underline may get some relief.
Well, I pray they do. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's a whole lot of that kind of stuff going on out there. The county treasurer told WorldNet Daily, we're not confiscating property.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You want to know why they're not confiscating
the church? She explained. Hey, go ahead.
Because it's theirs. The government's in the first place is how they view it.
Good point. She explained the county confiscates property to take ownership, then sells a number of properties at one time. You know, and at this point, by the way, the lady, I think this is the lawyer, yeah, from the Pacific Legal Foundation. She said, at this point, one sense is we have lost our constitutional bearings.
Amen to that.
Natives have asked. Yeah, good point. Anyway, that's pretty much the basics.
All right. Bottom line is government is increasing their stealing of the land. Against citizens, against churches, against all kinds of people, and it's absolutely a sham, and it's gotta stop. All right, Donald Trump, they say, saving Ruth Ginsburg's seat for Amy Barrett. Kurt, you believe a word of this?
Well, it's WorldNet Daily piece, and this is, they say, three sources have told Axios.com that President Trump told confidants he intends to nominate Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Do you remember who she is?
Yeah, she's the Catholic lady that's pro-life. She's great. He should have done that in the first place, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. Anyway, bottom line is she's been a vocal, very vocal about her opposition to abortion. When President Trump was deliberating last year over replacing Anthony Kennedy, the president told a number of people of his plan for Barrett. I'm saving her for Ginsburg, according to the three sources, they said. So
do you think even Ginsburg will be out before Donald leaves? Donald's out in 2020 probably, right, Kurt?
I don't think so, Sam.
We'll see. Do you think Donald will be there longer than Ginsburg?
Yeah.
Do you think he'll put Amy there?
Well, in my lifetime, it's pretty hard to point to a president that's, said he was going to do something and did it any more than President Trump.
Yeah, he's done a lot of what he said, that's for sure. Well, I can tell you this. I pray that Amy Barrett gets there because I think she's one of the better ones by far. You know, I don't know if I could pick a better, you know, I think Mike Lee would be really good. I think Amy Barrett would be really good. Some of the people that I thought President Trump should have picked already, twice he didn't pick, right? But all I can tell you is I hope he does now. And I think that if there's whisperings about that, let me tell you the reason that I kind of highlight this. Do you think it'll happen? Because we have a role to play in this, Kurt. If you and I and others put pressure publicly and talk about it and advocate for a certain person, there's a greater chance if there's a groundswell of support for President Trump doing this that it will happen. And that's where we come in. You know what? I don't know if President Trump will do it or if it's just talk. But I know if I advocate for it and support it and help with it to the best of my ability, the chances are greater that it will happen. So you know what, Donald Trump? I pray you truly put an Amy Barrett or somebody very pro-life like-minded in that spot. And I think Amy Barrett would be phenomenal. That's my take, Kurt.
Very good, Sam.
All right. I don't even know who this is. Kurt gives me these names. I just don't even know how to pronounce, and I don't know who they are or what they mean. Somebody raises $7 million in first quarter. Now, who is this?
Well, this guy's last name is Buttigieg, I guess. It's Buttigieg.
Whatever. I can't even say the name. Who is this person anyway?
Well, he's a Democratic mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, apparently he's, well, they say he's yet to officially announce his 2020 presidential campaign. But he said that he's raised more than $7 million in the first quarter.
Yeah, that's part
of the
way
year.
They do it nowadays, Kurt. They flirt with running, and then they just see how much money can really get in the coffer. And if it's enough, they run. If not, they just go, I've decided not to.
Yeah, they say, this is what he said. This is just a preliminary analysis, but our team's initial report shows we raised over $7 million in Q1 of this year. Now, that was a tweet, by the way. There's not much money in politics, is there, Sam? I mean, you know, it's just kind of tough in there, right? Wonder how this guy's going to get along.
Yeah.
That's and, of right. course, those dollars, those $7 million, don't come with any strings attached. I mean, you know, this guy would be his own man, of course, Pete. Maybe we should just call him PB, but, he's a Democratic mayor of South Bend, Indiana. I haven't heard much about him, so, you know, it might be that he's got something good, Sam. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. What does that mean then, Kurt? Does it mean that all these politicians can just kind of hang out and raise money?
Well, you know, they got these rules for you and me, Sam, to make sure that, if you're going to contribute, you know, you don't overdo it. And then you certainly don't want to, do some, like, voting fraud and all that kind of stuff. But it sure seems like there's a lot of that going around and things like this. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Well, guess who else raised a bunch of cash, Kurt?
Well, I think Bernie raised
yes, sir.
A little chunk.
Bernie raised $18.2 million in 6 weeks, puts Bernie Sanders in the lead.
It's amazing how much money goes to that guy, you know, don't you think? Well, and then, of course, he's got a vow of poverty and all that kind of stuff, you know, pretty much, because he wants to spread the money around to everybody else, you know, spread your money to everybody else. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. So what do you think it all means? Think Bernie's going to win? He's in the lead, buddy.
There's been talk of a Biden-Bernie, deal. So then you'd have the B&B, presidency, I guess. You know? But I think President Trump will probably win that, 48 states to 2 or something like that.
Yeah. All right. Bernie Sanders bringing in a ton of cash, rocking and rolling. Plenty of money. We can't get $5 to save our lives. But, hey, man, those guys get millions in a blink of an eye. No matter how socialist and psychotic and crazy they are. The constitutionalists, hey, man, they're lucky if they can get a nickel. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump telling GOP leaders he believes Republicans will take back the U.S. House in 2020, but they have to become, as he's been saying in recent days, the party of health care.
Essentially, what I'm saying is we're going to come up with a health care plan. We're not going to vote on it until after the election. We'll all promise it's going to be our first vote. Because we blew it the last time, man.
At the Republican Congressional Committee dinner, the president also joked about allegations from women being made against Joe Biden.
I was going to call him. I don't know him well. I was going to say, welcome to the world, Joe. You having a good time, Joe?
Meanwhile, the New York Times is reporting two more women are making allegations of inappropriate conduct against Biden. It brings the total number of women making accusations against the former VP to four. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way. But they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month. Not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
History made in Chicago as Lori Lightfoot was elected mayor yesterday. She'll be the first African-American woman to hold that office and also the first openly gay person to be mayor of the Windy City. She told supporters last night after defeating the Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle.
This is not us versus them or neighborhoods versus downtown. We are in this together and we will grow together.
The former federal prosecutor will be sworn in on May 20th. Republicans are accusing Democrats of using Senate rules to essentially oppose all of President Trump's nominees. So today, Senate Republicans are going for the so-called nuclear option to get hundreds of nominees approved, changing a rule and cutting the time for debating nominations. New figures show cigarette sales in the U.S. fell 8.8% last month compared to a year earlier, the 20th straight month. Cig sales are down in the U.S. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio. So Bernie brings in a bunch of cash. If you're a socialist, the cash rolls. If you're a constitutionalist, no money for you, my friend. Probably doesn't bring an appropriate return. You know what I'm talking about? So there you have it. You got these socialists, whoever this guy is, no one knows him, raises $7 million. Hasn't even declared candidacy yet. Another guy, $18 million, declared flat-out socialist. There you have it. All right, but Clapper is an interesting person, Kurt. Clapper kind of having a different take. Why the silence for so long, may I ask?
Well, it's a great point, Sam. In this case, WorldNet Daily Peace, the headline reads, Clapper, Obama responsible for Russia collusion probe. James Clapper, if you don't know who he was, he's the former director of national intelligence for President Obama. And he was defending his boss's legacy when he responded in a CNN interview to President Trump's claim that the previous administration did nothing about Russian meddling in U.S. elections. But in the process, he essentially affirmed Obama is responsible for the claims of Trump-Russia collusion that have roiled Washington for 2 years, but were debunked by special counsel Robert Mueller. So,
what does that mean,
Sam? I mean, what I hope it means is that, you know, somebody pays for the crazy stuff, whether it's the broadcasters, but it seems like they just keep getting boatloads of monies for their lies. But anyway, at least the bottom line is it's nice to know what is the truth, Sam. I mean, even if you're just one of the few.
Well, I don't even understand, though, if Clapper is saying that, what, Obama's responsible? Why didn't Clapper say this, like, when the investigation started? What, how long ago, Kurt? Almost 2 years ago?
Well, that's a great point. He says, well, nearly three now, I think it is. If it weren't for President Obama, this is what he said. We might not have done the intelligence community assessment that we did that set off a whole sequence of events which are still unfolding today.
But is Clapper notably calling for accountability for Barack Hussein on this, Kurt?
Oh, Sam, now come on.
I mean, I don't even understand this whole discussion. Why bring this up now? After we've spent $130 million and whatever we've done? I mean, come on.
I think they said it was only $25 million, but, you know, I don't know how they
only $25 million?
The real cost of that thing. You know, that's for the investigation, they say.
Uh-huh.
You know, but they say, he said, President Obama is responsible for that. It was he who tasked us to do that intelligence community assessment in the first place. I think it's an important point when it comes to critiquing President Obama.
There you go. All right, well, let's do that before we spend the money, before we launch bogus investigations in the first place. Somebody needs to be accountable somewhere. I'll tell you that right now. All right, now I don't know what this person's name is. Is it Cal Lawrence Livermore? I think Lawrence Livermore's the name, and Cal's what, the state?
Yeah, what these are is in California.
These are weird headlines, man.
Well, yeah, that's right. In California, I think they have,
by the way, just so they
universities.
Know, California is CA, it's not CAL. Just so they know.
Well, except for you've heard people say going to Cal.
No, they say Cali.
Cali, you know, there's all these different.
But CA is the designated two-letter state designation for the
state
of California.
Well, yeah, but that's if you're. Well, yeah, but what about sup and, you know, dude and all that kind of stuff? You
know?
Well,
this is Lawrence
Little. But anyway,
there's not slang going on with Lawrence. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. This story is coming to us from CBSLocal.com out of San Francisco. And what you've got, Sam, is the headline reads, Cal, Lawrence Livermore, scientists create 3D printer with, that's not anything new, you know, but it says with potential to print living organs. You know, anyway, these are the same guys that try to kill babies, and then they want to print living organs, it seems like. It says researchers there have created a new kind of 3D printer that potentially would manufacture living human organs. Now, they say normal 3D printers work by building up thin layers of melted plastic to create solid objects, but it's hard to get intricate designs to hold their form. So these designers, engineers there at Cal and Lawrence Livermore lab, got the idea of making 3D objects the same way a CT scan creates 3D images, by hitting a patient with X-rays from many different directions. So what I wanted to ask you, Sam, is you think they're going to, you know, be able to print up a heart or, you know, some of these things later?
No, it's bogus.
Okay. I just thought,
look,
I'd
this
ask.
Is where, you know, Elon Musk is ready to build you this, what do they call those things? What do they call it? Something tube or what's that technology called where you can just launch you through a tube?
Going underneath.
Well, this is where there's these tubes and they launch you at 800 miles per hour and.
Oh, yeah,
what else
that's
called?
Right.
Kinda like, I can't think of the name.
They should call it the Impossible Tube, but anyway, it's...
Hey, man, don't be doing that. Them Impossible Burgers, you can get one of them things now.
Good point.
But yeah. All I'm telling you, what do they call that, Hyperloop or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I have to look it up. Anyway, all I'm telling you is, okay, we were told that's going to be happening, right? I mean, yesterday that's going to happen, right? And now, I mean, how often have you heard about it, Kurt?
I haven't heard of it for a while.
Is one even rolling? I mean, is one even available to, like, use and test, even in short? Look, if these hyper tubes are that awesome, why don't they build one somewhere? Okay? It reminds me of these ideas. Let me give you another example. I remember on the news several years ago, I can't remember, like in the 90s or the early 2000s, maybe 2006, 7, 8, they said, hey, we're going to develop these little fuel cells, Kurt. You'll be able to buy them like at 7-Eleven or whatever, like a Bic lighter or something, or like a battery. And these fuel cells will be incredible. They'll run your laptops. They'll just be awesome. They'll run your phones. They'll do all these things. And they were like, hey, in a year or so, we ought to have them. Okay, I'm telling you, all this stuff is vaporware. These are the guys that are telling you Uber's going to be driving around. Well, this is the guy, Jeff Bezos, what, back in 13, 14, he said, hey, within a couple of years, we're going to have these drones flying around. How many drones are delivering stuff to your house, Kurt? The only drone I see is some dude in a truck pulling up and running out and running it up to your porch and ringing the doorbell and throwing the package down and running to his car. And you open your door and you go, hey, thanks, dude. See you later. That's all I see happening. I don't see any drones delivering anything to me.
Yeah, they say it's called Hyperloop, Sam.
Yeah, that's and right. Isn't that what I was saying?
I thought you said Hypertube. But anyway, yeah. It's like a tube, though. And yeah. So they say it's a proposed mode of passenger and or freight transportation first used to describe an open-source vac train design.
Yeah, but it's not even happening, dude.
Team from Tesla.
Kind of like, tell
SpaceX.
Me we went to the moon, but we really can't get back there, but we can try really hard to do so.
Yeah,
I don't understand any of this kind of stuff, Kurt.
Well, we don't have the paperwork from the first one. We got to just come up with it again, you know, Sam. I mean,
the paperwork?
Yeah. Well, you know.
I was thinking the hardware.
The recipe, like the, you know.
Yeah. Lunar module and stuff.
They say that Canada is hopping on the Hyperloop train.
Do they have one?
Montreal to Toronto study. No, they got a study.
Okay, so they're not hopping on nothing, buddy. They're just talking and spending money.
They're going to spend money, you know. On it.
Uh-huh. What are they going to do, run that thing on solar panels that aren't efficient?
Yeah,
then they're going to have government subsidies to run the solar panels because your normal coal power plants are bogus?
Up in Canada, you could use some little chipmunks or something like that.
So my bottom line is I don't think they're going to be printing organs with 3D printers anytime soon, Kurt.
I didn't think you'd think they would be.
Now, do I think that it's intriguing technology and worth pursuing? A lot of these things are, Kurt, because a lot of these things, just so you know, back in the day, let me give you an example. Back in the day in the 70s, I remember people going, man, we're going to have video phones pretty soon. This is like 75, okay? 78, before 1980 at least. And they said, hey, video phones are coming to a theater near us. Now, believe it or not, it did come, Kurt. It just came in like 2010 kind of range, 2015 kind of range. Now, you say they've been out for a while. So yeah, and they're in common use now, I would say, in 18, 19, right? But okay, from 75... 85, 95, 105, 115, 40 years later, video phones are pretty real. I mean, a lot of people FaceTime. A lot of people use Zoom and Skype and other things that literally are video phones. Now, don't get me wrong. Am I saying some of this stuff is never possible? I'm not saying that. I don't know the future, and I don't want to underestimate inventions. Before electricity, I might be the guy saying electricity is not coming to your house tomorrow. But so I'm not saying this stuff is never. This Hyperloop might be reality. There might be some incredible technology there. But oftentimes we jump the gun when we think about its rollout for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons for the slowdown is government belligerent regulation. A lot of it has legitimate questions. Okay? So, for example, self-driving vehicles. Do they have the technology, Kurt?
Yes. They're working on it.
They got it. Is it reliable and ready for prime time? I think not. We'll talk about that in just a minute. It's worthy of a discussion. Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth, Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Let me explain what I mean a little bit, because I make statements that people think are just kind of crazy. I'm like, hey, man, you know what? This technology isn't coming to a theater near you because of out-of-control belligerent government regulation, right? And people are like, whoa, Sam. I mean, isn't that a little over the top to kind of say that kind of stuff? Well, not when you read the headlines that I read. Not when you're a news hound like I am and see what's really going on. All right, let me give you an example. Headline says Pentagon to beat Tesla and Uber over self-driving vehicles, Kurt. Now, let me ask you a question. How are you going to compete against the Pentagon, buddy?
Good point.
It's now, why the heck is the Pentagon going to beat Tesla and Uber to self-driving vehicles?
I think they'll probably just team up with them, don't you think?
Well, they'll probably create their own vehicle and team up with them. And then because the competition isn't fair and because the Tesla and Uber can't compete at that, then they'll probably subsidize and all three of them will run. So you'll have, like, Pentagon Motors, and then you'll have, like, Uber, government-controlled motors, and then you'll have, like, Tesla in bed with government motors. And so what I'm saying is, how do you have progress and stability and stuff like that in a scenario where the headline literally says Pentagon to beat Uber and Tesla in a race over self-driving vehicles? Okay, you can't tell me that's not just out-of-control, belligerent government involvement. Well, there's no authority. There's no constitution. There's no justification for it whatsoever. Right, you ready for the next headline?
Yeah.
All right. Will most cities see driverless cars replace light rail? This expert thinks so too. Now, what does that mean, Kurt?
Well, it's just one of those headlines to kind of get the... if you see one of them, then you could say, hey, it was here, right? You know? I mean,
yeah,
you could say that. I just think that, like you say, it's a little bit too soon to say that it's going to be happening.
Now, here's the deal. Light rail and streetcars that are common sights in cities today may disappear from most U.S. urban areas within the next 12 years. That's according to one policy expert, Cato Institute senior fellow Randall O'Toole predicts that outside of New York and a few other urban centers, mass transit could soon be disappearing as more people use Uber and Lyft and all this stuff to get around. Now, what does all that mean, Kurt?
Imagine if the government got out of transportation.
Well, that's the whole point. You're right as rain.
Yeah.
Okay, they say driverless cars right now, Kurt, will only add to mass transit woes.
Yeah. Woes of mass transit.
Okay, they say people want to live and use mass transit, Kurt. They did some research.
Really?
Yeah. You believe it?
I think they're leading the witness.
That's exactly right. See, so you create all this, in my opinion, game playing about what people really want and everything. People don't want mass transit. What people really want is they want the ability to get around, and they don't want to have to sit there in traffic and focus for hours on end. So I think people would prefer to work at home a lot of the time, Or if you're, you know, let's say that you live in a city in New York about an hour away from downtown Manhattan or something, you might prefer to just drive into your local city's little office complex where you could kind of work there in a remote building and not have to weather all the crowds and all that stuff. But people aren't just running around going, I want government, one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, transportation. Now, the only way Uber and Lyft are going to replace, you know, these mass transit or these, what do they call these systems again? Light rail and all that kind of stuff. The only way is if government gets the heck out of it. Because right now, government's subsidizing light rail big time. I mean, you can travel on light rail, dude, for like $2. You can go pretty far. $3, whatever it is, $4, $5. It's cheap. Mm-hmm. Unless you look at the real cost. You're paying like $5 a ride and then like a gazillion dollars in taxes and going in debt till you can't even see straight. But they're not going to talk about any of that reality. And so the bottom line is that what emerged technology-wise, I hate to say this, but you ready to know what's going to emerge technology-wise, Curtin? Whatever they regulate out of existence and whatever they regulate into existence and whatever they subsidize will be out or in based on all those parameters.
Yep.
It won't be based on the free market as it should. It won't be based on what really is a better mousetrap to your door or a cheaper, less expensive, you know, a cost. It isn't that way. By the way, Kurt, would you rather take Pentagon transportation or Uber?
Uber.
Yeah, but what if government transportation, what if Pentagon transportation beats Uber and Uber goes under, buddy?
Well, we've seen it happen time and time again. You go to Washington, D.C., where we've been several times, and, you know, we want to get around, and they tell us, man, you know, the way you got to go is you got to go on the, what's that thing called, Sam, underneath the ground all over the place?
Subway.
I mean, well, yeah, but they call it Metro. Anyway, so you got to go on that because it's inexpensive and stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, if they really charged you the true cost of Metro,
you'd never take it again, buddy.
Pay for it. I mean, and yet, you know, while we were back there, our first few years when we'd go, we'd basically use taxis, you know. Get to places that we need.
And those
go.
Taxis are too expensive. They're so regulated and controlled, and you got to have a special medallion and all this to where they're out of the control expensive. That's why Uber and Lyft exist in the first place, Kurt.
That's exactly right. And why are the taxis, you know, I mean, it's the regulation that makes them more expensive, right? Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
You got all the governments telling them you got to have all these, you know, things, and they're just trying to suck up your money. But anyway, it's good to have at least some form of, I guess you could say, competition in that area, right?
Yeah, and the more we could have real competition, the more I'd welcome it. And so I'm not saying none of this is viable or none of this is real, but I am saying we got to be very careful. Let me give you an example. Hey, you go to the Buffalo Airport and start hanging out, and you get the thought that you want to go eat some chicken, Kurt. Right?
Well, yeah, but Sam, in this case, Chick-fil-A, you're going to have to get some government chicken, Sam, not the Chick-fil-A kind that you prefer, because in the Buffalo Airport, Chick-fil-A is being banned. And this, according to WorldNet Daily, and of course, the source, I think the source is Breitbart on this one, but what you got there, Sam, they've been banned from operating as a food vendor in the Buffalo Niagara International Airport, one place I hope to not go, after a Democrat New York assemblyman tweeted the restaurant supports, quote, anti-LGBTQ organizations, end quote. I guess they're not very pro-choice, you know what I mean, where people can't choose to support what they
want. Well, they are. They're just not for the choice for you to do evil, Kurt. They want you to do good.
They have to force you to do the choices you are supposed to do. And they say after hospitality management company Delaware North and the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority, whenever you hear that authority thing.
Anyway, bottom line is government bureaucrats literally kicked out Chick-fil-A. Right?
That's right.
Yeah. Banned. Not talking about it, not choice, not competition. Hey, I want to know this. When you say LGBTQ rhetoric, right? What does that even mean, Kurt? Right. Do they refuse to serve somebody that was gay or what, you know?
No, what it means is...
They just expressed an opinion?
They said that they were for the God-ordained family.
You know, so am I, Kerry.
Man, woman. I know, but Sam, that makes you a racist, a bigot, you know, a homosexual hater. And
I thought it made me a follower of God and his plan.
That's what I thought, but, I'm just telling you the new definition.
Buffalo Airport. I've been there several times. I'm completely disappointed, but there you go.
There you go.
All right, GM executives are in the news.
Well, Sam, I thought this story was worth talking about because you've heard about it lately where the president's telling them, look, get that plant back in action, you know, with all these guys working there and stuff like that. Yet when you go way down at the bottom of the story, you find out GM executive, let's see, it says offshoring production to Mexico has proven cheaper for GM executives as American workers earn $30 an hour while Mexican workers earn about $3 an hour. That's a little different, Sam. They say that's a 90% cut to wages that widens the corporation's profit margins. And you can understand why the president, you know, says, hey, if we're going to do this kind of stuff, then we're going to have tariffs on the border to equalize things. But, you know, there's not just the corporation at, you know, I guess you could say at fault here. I believe when you look through this story that the unions basically control that area as well. And so I can understand why the corporation wants to make a profit, but it's pretty amazing. This head of GM makes $22 million a year and laying off American workers. But, you know, when you've got that kind of deal, $3 an hour in Mexico and $30 an hour in, America, there's a little difference there, Sam. You can see why they want to just bump into the border, right?
Well, I'll tell you what I see, Kurt. I see it a complete confusing mess, personally. I mean, I don't know what this means. GM executives close Ohio plant despite concessions from U.S. workers. We did everything they want, they say. But here's what you got to understand, Kurt. There's no concessions that are going to make up for that difference.
I mean, how do you make up $30 versus $3 an hour?
You can't.
I mean, you know.
If that's your only comparison, you can't and you never will.
Well, I mean, that's...
Now, where's the tariffs?
I don't know why.
Where's the tariffs
America,
Donald promised on these cars coming in, Kurt?
That's right. And why here in America you could... You know, there's so much blowback from the whole slavery thing, and yet we encourage basically slavery in other countries by doing this kind of thing, don't we?
Yes, no question. But there you have it. You know, what do you say about it, Kurt? I mean, all I'm telling you is we're not. I appreciate Donald pushing for some of the right things. Hey, we're getting ripped off here. Keep the plants open. But as long as you leave tariffs off the discussion, what you got to do is add tariffs to the border significantly to even the reality, make a level playing field.
Right.
Okay. And then what you've got to do is decrease taxes on the American taxpayer enough to where people can see the benefit. If you just put tariffs at the borders and I feel like my car's more expensive, but you don't lower my taxes enough to give me a realistic comparison, then I'm thinking I've been hosed on both ends of the deal.
And like our guest from yesterday, I agree. Our guest from yesterday about the right to work states. I mean, just imagine if you continued to push out the idea that said, hey, we should have freedom of places to work and not have these unions controlling these big corporations.
You got that right. But if Donald could say, I lowered your taxes equivalent to these tariffs that I'm putting on, in other words, you, the taxpayer, aren't paying the bill now, the Mexicans are. They're paying for the wall. Now you're getting a discussion that the American people can understand. But as long as you raise tariffs and don't lower taxes, in other words, create a net zero discussion or a better for the taxpayer discussion, people feel like they're getting dogged on both ends of the deal, and that's exactly right. And if Donald closes the border and the economy struggles even more, you got to put things in perspective. And if you just can't take it out of both ends.
We might have to grow avocados in America, Sam.
Good luck
Tough
with that.
Times.
All right, LibertyRoundtable.com.